Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's ground with agarden.com.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural, holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at CoachChristie.com. That's CoachChristie.com.
Hello, folks. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. My throat is acting a little weird today. Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as just sharing stories, encouragement, empowerment, and just kind of, you know, coming together to, you know, accept and uplift each other within the barefooting community. I am Phoenix. If you know, listened to our show in the past, you know, I host the show with Audrey. Unfortunately, Audrey can't be here right now. She will try to be here later for the show, but had some very important personal things that came up, so I won't get into it. But yeah, if you're new here, hi, I'm Phoenix. And you know, what we do here is, you know, we just, you know, share our personal stories, experiences, and like to hear from other people's personal stories and experiences, to help each other, you know how to deal with, the criticism and the backlash that we may sometimes face for, being barefooters. But there are absolutely no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. Now, you know, work safety conditions are their own thing, and that's going to be different. But when it comes to public places, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. And unfortunately, so many people aren't aware of this, or they just don't care and are negative and hateful about it, unfortunately. A lot of us have, you know, dealt with those experiences. But remember, you don't owe an explanation to anybody, especially if you're not doing anything wrong and you're not breaking laws, you're not breaking any health codes. Why does it matter? You know, people barefoot for so many different reasons, spiritual and religious, cultural, medical. There are so many valid reasons to why we barefoot. You know, for myself, medical reasons and spiritual reasons are really key for me. And it's also really important to keep in mind that just because two or five individuals or whatever, however many you want to use for an example, just because all these different individuals may barefoot for the same general reason, like medical or spiritual or cultural, that does not mean that their reasons under this general umbrella are the exact same. So what I mean by that is, you know, I might barefoot for, you know, spiritual reasons, and somebody else might barefoot for spiritual reasons, but that doesn't mean we have the same spiritual beliefs. That doesn't mean that, you know, we agree, you know, on, you know, different aspects of spirituality other than we both barefoot for spiritual reasons. But obviously, you know, we're not here to, you know, disagree or, you know, make an issue between, you know, spiritual practices or cultural or medical reasons. We're here to respect and understand each other's different reasons, you know, because that's what, you know, that's what true community is about, honestly, is respecting each other and uplifting each other and standing by each other's rights, even if, you know, we may not agree with them, you know. it is, you know, standing up for what is right, because, you know, our rights are our rights, and it is wrong to take that away from anybody, especially, you know, unless, you know, they're doing something horrible, like, you know. And so it's really important to remember that, you know, we are coming together with so many different beliefs, so many different reasons and ideas, and that we're all very different people. And that's one thing I do like about having a community like this, is getting to, you know, talk and hear other people's stories and, you know, hear other people's reasons for barefooting and just understand them as an individual, because, you know, we're all doing this for our own individual reasons. And it's very frustrating, you know, for me, the whole propaganda around, you know, barefooting being bad, because for me, you know, it is very important on a spiritual level, as well as for my physical health and my mental health. You know, there are so many different dimensions of barefooting to so many different people. And it's so frustrating, because for so long growing up, I didn't realize that being barefoot in public is legal. There are no laws or health codes against it. I'm not doing anything wrong. You know, I know so many other people that didn't realize this until they were way further into their adulthood than I am. You know, for reference, I'm about to be 21. So, you know, I'm kind of lucky to have known by the time I was, before I was 20, is when I really got into, like, barefooting. You know, I've been barefooting my whole life, you know, off and on as a kid, but when you're in school and you have extracurriculars and all this stuff and you're told keep your shoes on, you end up keeping them on to avoid getting out of trouble. But if you were like me, you probably took them off at any chance or opportunity possible. An opportunity presented itself to me, I had my shoes off, okay, you know. But I was pretty lucky to know by the time I was 20 that there are no laws or health codes against it. And through Barefoot is Legal, you know, I've come into contact with a lot of people much older than me that didn't find this out till later in life. And it's very frustrating, because it's more than just, oh, I don't want to wear shoes. And so many people don't understand that. It's so much more than I'm a rebel. And first of all, if there are no rules, aka laws or health codes against barefooting, how am I being a rebel? I'm not breaking any laws. I'm not breaking any rules. If anything, I am just not following your boxed in expectations of how I should be or what I should do. And if that offends people, that is clearly something they need to reflect on within themselves. That is not a you problem, you know. We're not doing anything wrong, you know, so how can we be rebels, really? But it's more than I'm just trying to tick people off. It's more than it's deeper. People barefoot for so many different mental health reasons, you know, panic attacks, ADHD, autism. You know, we've had a lot of different people that we've talked to that have so many different mental health or neurodivergent reasons for barefooting. You know, Audrey talked about her ADHD. It really helps with focus. And even for me, it helps with my emotional regulation. It helps me just really understand what's going on. And that's a really hard thing to explain, because it's not just what's going on in my environment, but what's going on within me, with my emotions, with my body, you know, with my mindset, you know. And, you know, I respect everybody's beliefs, and, you know, I do. But I believe that we are all very multidimensional beings. You know, we are physical, we are mental, we are spiritual, and there are so many different other aspects to that for me that I won't get too much into. But we are multidimensional. There are different levels of our existence, different levels of our experience. And I know I'm not the only one near the only one at all to believe that. And so a lot of people, you know, who barefoot, it is a spiritual or religious thing where, you know, it's aligning the multidimensional state of who we are, you know. There are so many other spiritual reasons that people barefoot than just my own, than just Audrey's, than just the people that we've talked to and had on the show in the past, you know. And so it's really important to understand that this goes much, much deeper than I'm just trying to tick people off than I just don't want to wear my shoes. And you know what? That is a valid reason. If you wake up and you're like, I don't want to wear my shoes. I'm like, okay, well, you go into the grocery store barefoot because you have that right. Have at it, pal, you know. I mean, really, I don't want to wear my shoes really is reason enough because there are no laws or health codes against it. Have at it, you know. But for me, you know, not only, you know, it's spiritual benefits and mental health benefits and physical benefits can be combined, you know. I don't know if that made any sense, but basically what I'm saying is, you know, there are different aspects where, like, for example, you know, we've had somebody come on and talk about how for them, when they had a panic attack, they'd take their shoes off. It would immediately help with their mental health. If your feet hurt, take them off. It might help improve your physical health or, you know, the pain in your feet. But there are many different times where it is, you know, having a positive impact on more than one area of or aspect of who you are at the same time. And I think a really good example of that is like when I go on nature hikes with friends or my boyfriend or anybody close to me. When I'm barefooting through nature, you know, that is a, there are physical benefits for it. I move better. I walk better. My nerve pain is less. I don't really have as many issues with my nerves, my muscles, and my joints. Like I, you know, and I do constantly have issues with those. You know, I have chronic illnesses and, you know, I have a disability. And so those are always going to be there. But barefooting makes a huge, huge improvement to my walking, to my pain, just any movement, not even just walking, but any movement really involving my body. And so many people forget that our feet are our foundations, and our feet represent our foundations in many different spiritual practices as well. But literally for the body, they are our foundation. They're what we walk on, just like the foundation that a building sets on. You know, they hold the weight of everything. They are what we move with. You know, they are the foundation of our movements, especially, you know, walking, running, standing, even squatting. You know, there's so much that we forget our feet are constantly involved in. And so when my feet can move more naturally with more natural flexibility, while also building up natural strength. Last week we had on Guy Felix Broke, and I think I said that right. He was a triathlon. He actually did an Ironman, which if you don't know anything about like triathlons, track and field type stuff, an Ironman is a huge deal. And so he did that whole thing barefoot. And so many people were talking about how he's crazy, you know, he was crazy. And I remember him coming on and saying, well, we're all crazy. We're all here to do an Ironman, which is an extreme accomplishment, an extreme feat of its own, different type of feat, ha, ha, ha. and which is just so impressive on its own, an Ironman is, you know, but especially barefoot. There was something that he said I was going to add to. I'm sorry, guys. And I don't have Audrey to remind me what I was saying. Oops, got to love being neurodivergent. there was something else I was going to say that he brought up that was really interesting to me. Dang it. I hope I come back to it. Give me a second. I don't know. I really can't remember now. It's going to kill me. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. So my overall point, though, is that there are so many different reasons, you know, why we do this. And I'm sorry to kind of fall off there. But there are a lot of things that we can do where our bodies are benefited, but our minds are also benefited through barefooting and maybe, and even spiritual aspects. And like what I was going to say with that is like, when I go on barefoot hikes, you know, I move better. I'm more flexible. Oh, there we go. I remember it. Guy, which is his first name, he brought up that shoes are like crutches and, you know, that can create muscle atrophy when you're not using something enough. A lot of times too, like when somebody breaks a leg, muscle atrophy occurs. And obviously they needed, you know, to not be using that leg for obvious reasons. They needed the bone to be able to heal. But while the bone was healing within a cast, they weren't using those muscles. So those muscles got weaker because they, and yes, they did genuinely need all that extra support because you broke a bone, your leg did, I mean, you know what I mean? And they, as in, you know, their body, not just the muscles, but like, yes, you know, your leg did need all of this extra support, because you broke your bone. And so it genuinely needed that. But when you have this extra support, it weakens the muscles. And you know, that is a natural thing. And, you know, that happens, but the same thing happens a lot of time when people wear shoes, unfortunately. Their Achilles heel, their even their arch, but, you know, their ankles, they become too dependent on this support that it actually weakens their feet. It, you know, it weakens your ankles. It can even weaken the strength of your arch. And the truth is you don't need a super high arch to have a supported strong foot. When you have more, you know, muscle and more strength, you may be like, oh, my arch is disappearing. But this is because you have, you know, more muscle and building up too. And there are other factors to this, of course. I don't know everything, I will be honest. But, you know, when you have that muscle and strength built up, you know, your foot is supported, whether you see that super high arch or not. And you don't necessarily need to have a high arch to have a healthy foot, which unfortunately a lot of people don't know. And if you do need to heighten your arch or strengthen it, I know that there are workouts out there for that. And yes, there are different medical reasons why people may not be able to barefoot, and they may actually lose the support in their arch to the point that that's not a good thing, like with diabetics, unfortunately, that's a risk. And there are a lot of people who actually can't barefoot because of that with diabetes. And so, you know, we're not here to shame people for their health issues at all. You know, there are genuine medical reasons why people can't barefoot, just like there are genuine medical reasons why people need to barefoot, you know. And the most important thing is listen to your body, of course. But barefooting does help build up natural strength in your foot, but barefooting also helps your foot to move more naturally. And for people like me and Audrey with nerve and joint and many other different physical health issues, barefooting is really important for us. And being able to move properly, build up that strength as well. But like when I, you know, go on barefoot hikes, I'm building up this strength. I'm, you know, I'm also, you know, helping my body out, being barefoot with my movement and my health. But I'm also mentally grounded. You know, I feel free. It's really great for my mental health. It's a very cathartic experience. And I know I'm not the only one that feels this way. You know, we've had other people that have, you know, come on in the show in the past and have talked about this. And I have friends that I've actually gotten into barefooting at least while hiking in the woods on dirt paths, because they also say that it's just so freeing. It's so good for their mental health. It's so cathartic. They feel like a child in the best way possible, as in, you know, they're free and there aren't, you know, all the heavy consequences of the world and adulthood on them. You know, when they're out there and we get to just walk and or hike barefoot through nature, they feel free. And a lot of people feel that. Excuse me. But also on a spiritual level, there are many different benefits benefits to grounding and barefooting and being in nature. Within my own spiritual beliefs, but also within many other different spiritual beliefs, nature and water are cleansing, purifying. That's why so many there's so many cultures that have ideas similar to baptism or just general cleansing and purifying of energy through water. And this, I've found this in just pretty much every, you know, culture I've ever, you know, heard about or talked to any about or knew any, not culture, sorry, I meant spiritual practice. But spiritual practices and culture do often overlap as well. But in about any spiritual practice that I've heard of, I've read about, or I've had people, you know, tell me about their spiritual practices and conversations, water has been a very key commonality. And so is earth itself, nature. And it's very cleansing and freeing, very purifying of negative energy. This is why, you know, me and my friends, we enjoy walking through creeks barefoot or even just walking along the dirt paths. It's like we can just feel the bad energy coming off of us, you know, just removing itself from our life, or more like the nature and the water removing it from our lives and from us. But not everybody is, you know, a spiritual person, and I totally respect that. But even from a mental health psychology perspective, nature is very, very beneficial for mental health, for stress reduction. When I was getting my associate in psychology, one of the last classes I took this past year was stress management. And we talked a lot about how, well, exercising in general is really good for your mental health and, you know, your physical health too. And so, sorry, throat today. So the exercise, you know, aspect of nature, hiking and walks, is definitely really great too for mental health and stress reduction. But also just being around nature is very calming. I mean, it's even been found that patients who are severely ill, when they are put in hospital rooms that have, you know, views of trees or some kind of nature, do extremely better than patients who are surrounded by city views or even may have just brick walls of an alley or whatever outside their window. Because, you know, there are just so many different benefits to nature walks, you know. But I understand if you're not a nature person. You know, I do have friends that are terrified of bugs. And they're like, I get it. It's so calming every time we go out, but I hate it, you know, because, you know, and, you know, bug phobias are a real thing, you know, and, or some people don't like the textures of nature. You know, I know people that are neurodivergent and who really, really struggle with the texture of water, and even mud or dirt. And so, everybody who barefoots is also going to have their own different preferences, their own experiences, their own ways of doing it. But, you know, if you're somebody that isn't extremely opposed to being out in nature, I definitely recommend dirt paths as being a place to start and also continue to build up that tolerance with barefooting. Because not only is it just physically beneficial, but it's also mentally beneficial. And if you are a spiritual person, I'm sure you can definitely find spiritual benefits within your own spirituality and spiritual practices with nature and nature hiking. I feel like nature is a pretty universal place for that kind of thing. But if you're somebody that really struggles with different textures that you know, what we have in nature, or struggles with, you know, bug phobias, things like that, or maybe just doesn't even have a good safe area to hike in, unfortunately. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I am pretty lucky to have a few good, safe hiking areas around me where I can, you know, get my barefoot on and just enjoy the just enjoy nature, you know, the feeling of the earth. I do enjoy the feeling of the mud and the water. It's definitely a very sensory pleasing thing for me. And that's actually what I enjoyed so much yesterday of my barefoot hike yesterday I took with my boyfriend. But if you are not somebody if you're not somebody who enjoys nature or the textures, or if you just have bug phobias, city walking, that might be it for you, you know? And if you're starting out, look for the lighter colored patches of concrete, because the color of concrete is going to make a difference in how much heat it absorbs. Black absorbs the most heat, while white absorbs the least amount of heat, like with fabrics. You know, I'm sure somewhere along the line you've found out or been told, oh, well, if you wear all black, you'll be too hot because it absorbs too much heat, while if you're wearing lighter colors, you'll be cooler. The same thing is important to keep in mind with concrete. Black asphalt can get extremely hot, and it can take some time to build up that tolerance and be able to barefoot on asphalt. I thankfully am very proud to say that I've been able to walk on asphalt in 96 and even a little hotter degree weather, which you have to think, if it's 96 degrees out and you have black asphalt that is having the hot sun beaming down on it, it's usually going to get closer to 100 degrees and even higher. And so I'll be honest, if it's over 100 degrees outside, the asphalt is still a little too much for me. So I can imagine like living somewhere like Texas or maybe even Florida. I don't know. Where it just gets like super hot. Cause I'm sure living in those areas, it, can be a little bit harder to build up that tolerance, in a comfortable way. But if you are somebody that's, you know, trying to get into it or is, you know, new to it, look for lighter patches of concrete. And I found that they are usually a little bit textured enough that it helps kind of build up that tolerance of being able to like walk on, sharper rocks, if that makes sense. That concrete texture, it still, you know, just works your feet enough there, but also it'll help you get used to feeling the temperatures before you can withstand like the burning asphalt, you know. And, you know, barefooting is only dangerous if you completely disregard, I feel like, common sense and safety, you know. Like, there are certain situations where shoes are a tool and are going to be necessary. But also there's just common sense, you know, like just watch where you're stepping, you know, like, especially if you're somebody who hasn't worked up that tolerance. I mean, Audrey can step on glass without it even piercing her foot. Audrey's been, you know, barefooting for decades now. And, went all year pretty much I was gone all year pretty much without having to wear shoes except for work policy stuff, where unfortunately it is required because of safety reasons. There was an incident that happened and now they're all required to wear shoes, but Audrey was thankfully able to work with them so that she is able to wear barefoot sandal shoes, so him more of a flexible sole. I forget what brand they were though, but I know that she's used them in the past too and has mentioned them. But we've mentioned a few shoe, barefoot sandal or barefoot shoe brands. So I'm trying to remember which one it was. But she was able to go all winter with only wearing shoes 3 times. And that was because it was her feet were freezing to the ground. So those were reasons, obviously, shoes were a necessary tool. You know, shoes are tools, you know, they're not a necessity. They can be a fashion accessory too. Well, that's why most people wear shoes. Like, honestly, most people don't wear shoes nowadays for safety reasons, because if they did, they wouldn't be wearing the shoes they are, because a good amount of the shoes people wear nowadays are not exactly safe, probably safer to barefoot than wear, you know, some of these shoes. And I'm not here to judge people, you know, either. Wear what you want to wear, boo. Like, girl, you do you. Anybody, you do you, you know. Wear what you want to wear. Wear what you're happy wearing, what makes you feel confident and beautiful or whatever else, you know, you want to feel. You know, I'm not here to judge, but from a safety standpoint, that's not why most people wear shoes, really. And so it's like people act like, oh, barefooting is only dangerous, honestly, if you completely disregard your safety, like really. I barefoot all the time, and people are like, oh, well, you might step on glass, blah, blah, blah. I know where the glass is before you do. First of all, I walk with a cane. Not always, but a good majority of the time, I do. Because of that, I am always paying attention to where I'm stepping. So I'm already paying attention because of, you know, having a disability. I'm definitely paying attention when I'm not wearing shoes. But also, people are like, oh, well, the rocks are sharp and pointy. Okay, well, I've built up that tolerance that these rocks that are so sharp and pointy and hurt your feet don't hurt mine. Because I've built up that tolerance, you know. And the thing, too, is, you know, if I'm going into a place like the bank or the grocery store, a lot of those floors are super slick, whether they've just mopped them or not. And, you know, as somebody who walks with a cane, those floors are extremely slick and it's very hard. And if I'm wearing shoes and walking with a cane, balance is almost impossible. But when I'm not wearing shoes, I have more grip. I have a firmer stance. I am less likely to slide around. You know, I'm placed firmer on the ground because my, you know, our feet naturally have that resistance. And so I personally walk so much better and move so much better barefoot. And like I already, you know, mentioned earlier, like my feet are able to move more flexibly and naturally. And that's an aspect of it that really helps. But also I'm not sliding around like I would in shoes. And so as somebody who is considered a fall risk when I go into a hospital, barefooting is an important way to keep me less fall risky, you know, less at risk of falling or whatever, you know. Sorry, guys, coughing in your ears. But there are so many different reasons that, you know, people barefoot, and shoes are unfortunately really not even made with people's safety or fall risk, risks or general things like that in mind. They are an accessory. And if that's how you choose to accessorize and express yourself, I'm all for it. You know, I think people should express themselves as they choose to, you know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, who cares? And, you know, and I could sit here and be like, oh, well, she's wearing those huge platform heels. She's hurting herself. I could do that. But people sit here and do that to me all the time for barefooting. Oh my God, she's not wearing shoes. She's endangering her life. No, I'm not. Just like these girls that, or anybody who's wearing heels really knows that, like, I got this. I know how to walk in heels. I've got this. You know, they're like looking at me crazy for saying you're endangering your safety. Just like I'm looking at other people for calling me crazy for saying I'm endangering your safety. You know, now, because you have to listen to your body. Now, I personally, because of my physical health issues, could never wear heels. The huge heels that are like at all, really heels at all. Can't really do that. But especially ones that are like 6 inches, you know, I couldn't do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a death trap. But it's a death trap for me. I'm clumsy. I have a disability, you know, so it's like, let people make the choices they want to make and let them listen to their body and know their limitations. You know, we're not here to judge. We're just here to be accepted and to just be respected too, you know, because there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. And it's only dangerous if you completely disregard safety. Okay. I'm not going to run into a fire barefoot. Now, yes, there are some cultures that do that for certain reasons. And I'm not here to judge that or diss on that either. But for me, I'm like, that's going to hurt me. I'm definitely not quick enough to walk over coals without getting who knows what degree burns, you know? I'm not going to do that. As somebody who barefoots for a while, I know when something is most likely going to be too much for me, you know? Like, I can barely touch the asphalt, and I'm like, oh, this is too much today. It's like 105 degrees outside. This is too much. But I can also usually look at temperature and know, okay, I am not accustomed to walking on asphalt in 105 degree weather yet. I can do around 96, 98, but not over 100, you know? So it's like I know more about my body and more about my limitations in general with temperatures, textures, than it will do. A lot of people who don't barefoot on the regular are more likely to hurt themselves because they decided, oh, I don't want to wear shoes today, whatever, and then they end up hurting themselves. Because I've actually know quite a few stories of the people that have ended up hurting themselves barefoot were not actual barefooters. They were people that pretty much always wore their shoes and then decided one day they didn't. And it was always extreme cases where, you know, it's not like, oh, I didn't feel like putting my shoes on, so I walked out to my car barefoot. Obviously, it's not something like that. But, like, for example, like, I know I've talked about this in the past. Like, I knew a girl who went to a water park, and it was actually around 105, maybe higher. And she went barefoot the entire time, ended up with third-degree burns on her feet because she didn't realize that because of the water that her feet were being burnt the whole time. But she was somebody that always wore her shoes except for, you know, on some occasions, and this ended up being one where she decided to take them off. You know, she wasn't somebody that had built up her tolerance, had learned to know what her body could and could not handle, you know. And so barefooters and people that do this, you know, we have a better understanding of our body than most people, and especially what most people think we do. You know, we are actively learning what is best for our body. What can we handle? What is safe? You know, and what is safe will change when it comes to barefooting. It will. Because I used to not be able to walk on black asphalt in 96 degree weather, but now I can. That used to not be safe for me, but now it is safe for me. Walking on sharp, pointy rocks. Now, you know, there are still times where it can be too much. But, like, going to barefoot hikes at the quarry near me, that used to be so unsafe. I couldn't do it. I could barely get, you know, 10 minutes of walking on these sharp, pointy rocks barefoot. Now I've gone on full barefoot hikes throughout the quarry at least 5 times, maybe more. Probably more, actually, now that I think about it. It's got to be more than 5. So what used to not be safe for me is now safe, you know? And so, yes, there are certain things, like if I'm going to be going to a construction site, you're going to want steel-toed boots, okay? Like, duh, you know? And that because, you know, but at the same time, there are a lot of things that what is safe changes. I mean, like, look at kids. It's, you know, it's not safe for you. You know, we at least label it unsafe to drive, you know, younger than like 15, you know, or when you like, or 15 and a half, you know, whenever you're allowed to get your temps. I know it's like 15, 15 and a half, something like that. Trying to remember now. But anyway, but once you get your license and are an adult, oh, it's safe for you to learn how to, it's safe for you to drive. But I mean, in general, like also another example within this one analogy is when you're under 18, you have to take driver's ed before you can take the test to get your license. But if you're over 18, at least in my state anyway, I don't know if this is true for all states, but at least in Ohio anyways, if you're over 18, you don't have to take driver's ed. You can just take the test to get your license. So like what is safe changes is basically what I'm trying to say. Like there are some things that are always going to be unsafe. You know, there are things and, you know, I'm not going to get too much into that, but safety is really just listening to your body and what your body can do and what your body is capable of and what is okay for your body. The most important part of safety is listening to your body or even listening to your gut. I'm a firm believer of listen when you get a bad feeling. When you feel something that just ain't right, listen to it. It's trying to tell you something. You know, something ain't right here, you know. Animals, you know, sense danger. And yes, we are, you know, not like animals, but we're still mammals. So I believe that there is a part of us that, you know, can sense danger, and we should listen to that, you know. But even from a psychology standpoint, when we get that gut feeling, it's because we unconsciously or subconsciously picked up on stimuli within our environment that triggered this is not safe here, before our conscious mind could pick up on it, if that makes any sense. So the biggest thing about safety is listen to you, you know, and listen to your body, you know, and take it a step at a time. I'm about to run a quick ad break, though, guys. I hope you're enjoying my ramblings. I know that Audrey wishes she could be here for sure, but I will be back after a quick ad break, if I can get this to work. Sorry, guys.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce. Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot as Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized. And their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
Hello, folks. I'm Phoenix, back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as just sharing stories, encouragement, and empowerment. And if you're just now listening to the show, this is a reminder that there are no laws or health codes in the United States against barefooting. Because of this, it is actually illegal to have no shirt, no service, no shoe signs. Because of this, it is illegal for store employees or even at hospitals and any place else that is open to the public for them to tell you you can't be in there barefoot. Now, work safety requirements and policies are going to be different. But if you are just a member of the public, like, you know, you're not at work, it is illegal for you to be kicked out of a public space for barefooting. There is nothing wrong with it. You know, we're not breaking any rules. We're not breaking any laws. And we're not rebels because we're not breaking any rules, you know. Like I said, you know, earlier in the show, people barefoot for so many different reasons. Spiritual and religious, cultural and medical and mental health reasons, so much more. And it's important to understand that and to respect it. You know, so many people act like, you know, we just barefoot to tick people off. And unfortunately, there is still a stigma that if somebody barefoots, they must be poor or they must be unkept or they must be this or that. You know, I know for myself and many others, barefooters have been accused of being, you know, thieves or people that would steal just because they're barefoot. You know, there is such a negative connotation of barefooting that still exists. And it's so important to remember we're not doing anything wrong. We're just people. And we're doing this for so many reasons that are more than just I'm trying to tick you off. I'm just trying to make you mad. We're doing this for ourselves, for our physical health, for our mental health, for our spiritual health, and for many other cultural reasons, people barefoot. We're not doing anything that has anything to do with anybody else, really. You know, we're doing this for us. But because so many people have this negative connotation against us and want to treat us like we're doing something wrong, so many people like myself, like my co-host Audrey, who would usually be here but unfortunately can't for important reasons, you know, and so many other people within the Barefoot is Legal community, especially the admin team, are doing this, you know, now, not even just for ourselves like we would, you know, we're now having to do this for other barefooters. We're now having to do this to support each other, to encourage each other, to uplift each other. You know, that's why we have this radio show. We barefoot for ourselves, but Barefoot is Legal is for everyone. You know, we're doing this so that everyone knows that they have the right to barefoot, whether you want to be a full-time barefooter or what. You know, maybe you just want to go, into a store because, you know, without being harassed because you forgot your shoes this one time because you thought say your sandals, your flip-flops, or whatever were in the car and you forgot them and you want to just be able to go into a store once and know that you're not going to get harassed, you know? This isn't just for people who consider themselves barefooters. It's for anybody that might just go once or twice without shoes even into public. You know, we're doing this so that way people aren't attacked. That way, you know, we can be respected, but also be empowered for when we may be attacked by other people, you know, for just doing this for ourselves. And, you know, and it's also really important to remember that so many different people are doing this for different reasons, you know. But when I, to kind of get back more onto this connotation of barefooting, because of this, like, I feel like I've also been, like, paying a lot more attention to the way barefooting is perceived in the media. And, you know, this include news stories, but even just media as simple as TV shows and movies, music videos, anything, you know, pop culture, you know, that's media. And so I feel like because of this, like, negative connotation, you know, we always see in the media, like, if somebody's committing a crime, they always have, and if that person is barefoot, it's like they always have to include that in the title. Instead of focusing on that person and the bad thing they did, it's like, oh, let's focus on the fact that they weren't wearing shoes when they did it, because what does that have to do with anything? There are no laws or health codes against it. It'd be one thing if you were bringing up the fact that they were barefoot to show that not only did they do this one crime and break this one law or do this one horrible thing, they were also breaking another law. But the truth is, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting. So what's the point? Why? Why mention it? Why make such a big deal that they were barefoot when they did this crazy thing or they did this crime? You know, it'd be one thing if it was to add they did something else wrong, but they're not. Barefooting, there's nothing wrong with it, you know? You know, there are no laws or health codes against it. So why bring it up, you know? And that just shows that there is still this, you know, deep connotation against it that affects barefooters, that affects people to this day. Or there's just also this, you know, connotation that, oh, it's immediately unsafe, you know? It's like this person just has no regard for anybody's safety, not even their own. But like I said, what is safe depends on you, depends on your body, depends on what your needs. And that can even apply to so many other different things. You know, a lot of people have different emotional boundaries and things like that because of what is safe to them and what isn't. You know, a lot of people, you know, go through so many different traumatic experiences, and this can alter what feels safe. You know, our experiences can alter what is and is not safe. It can. Just like if you have no experience with barefooting may be a little more dangerous for you, you know, because you can't walk on hot asphalt yet, or you can't walk on sharp, pointy rocks yet. Or in Audrey's case, she can walk on glass and it doesn't even cut her foot. But if you're somebody that hasn't built up this tolerance, you know, those things aren't going to be unsafe to you. It's me like, yeah, it's whatever, you know. And I know a lot of people that, you know, throughout their barefoot journeys, they can see like how what was considered safe to them changed, you know, as their experiences changed with barefooting, as their, you know, their feet even changed through their barefooting experiences. And like an example of like something I saw in the media, I saw a clip, and I'm not 100% sure, because it was on social media, and I'm not 100% sure if it was a clip of Bruce Jenner or, well, Caitlyn Jenner. I'm sorry. Caitlyn Jenner before her transition. Sorry, guys. That was inappropriate of me to say. I feel like. But anyway, so of Caitlyn Jenner before her transition riding a motorcycle, or if it was Rob Kardashian Sr. Before he died on a motorcycle. I don't remember, but it was supposedly from Keeping Up with the Kardashians from like years ago, where one of them was on a motorcycle barefoot. And I guess it was like they were watching like an old home movie tape, you know, because back then, you know, people actually did actually tape stuff. You know, they didn't have little camera phones they could pull out like we do nowadays, which makes everything so much easier. Anyway, I remember, like, you can hear Chris Kardashian going like, oh my God, he's barefoot. Like, I guess they were watching this and they were kind of laughing at it. But I think it was also like them trying to, or that whoever it was, cause I, now that I think about it, I think that it was Robert Kardashian Sr., the Kardashian's father, looking back. So I think it was him actually. But again, I'm not 100% sure who it was on the clip, but I remember, And the clip too, when it was taken from this show, I know it was before Caitlyn Jenner's transition. So I know they said he, and that's what made it a little more confusing, was I wasn't sure if it was Robert or Caitlyn pre-transition, if that makes any sense. But they were making such a big deal about whoever it was riding barefoot on this motorcycle. Like, oh my gosh, it's so unsafe. And the thing is, you know, to each their own, though. You know, I'm sure there are people that go out there, you know, who are barefooters who do also barefoot while they ride their motorcycle. While some people who, you know, are motorcyclists are going to be like, that's insane. That's crazy. What are you doing, you know? And for some reason, like, that video clip that I saw on, I think it was Instagram I saw it on, just, like, really kind of stuck out to me, you know, where, you know, where it's like, and I wish Audrey was actually here to talk about this while I'm bringing it up, but I saw it this week, because Audrey just got her endorsement for to drive a motorcycle. It's like similar to a license, like when you get a license to drive a car, except for instead of it being called like a license, it's called an endorsement, if I'm not mistaken, from how she explained it to me. But I just thought it was, like, so funny because, you know, I'm sure there are people within the barefooting community be like, well, I've done it. You know, I've barefooted while riding a motorcycle. Like, what's the big deal, you know? While some people are like, oh, my gosh, that's insane, you know? And I do think that that's one that's a little bit more up for debate, you know? Like, I don't have any experience with riding on a motorcycle or even being the one to drive the motorcycle, if that makes any sense. So, like, I personally, like, I can't really have an opinion, I feel like, too much on that. But I thought that was something that was really interesting because I'm sure there are people, you know, who are motorcyclists that are also barefooters. And to them, that may be no big deal at all. But that was, like, one of the only examples I could really see. I've seen this week where barefooting was perceived in the media as dangerous. Thankfully, I haven't really seen anything else. But a lot of the other examples of when we see barefooters or people barefooting, I guess would be a better term for it, because we rarely really see actual barefooters in the media. Most of the examples that I've seen, like this past week or even the past month, of people barefooting in the media or being barefoot, it's always been like scenes where like somebody doesn't know where they are, like they woke up from like a trance or something like that, like they were sleepwalking or even like they were held captive and things like that, like. Or they're in a prison of some kind, you know, not like an actual prison system, but like an example would be like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like they have like a specialized government prison or something like that. I don't want to give away like any spoilers for anybody that would watch the show. There was a character, he was held in like a special type of prison that they had, cause he was extra dangerous or whatever. And he was barefoot or even on Supernatural. I watched this week, there was a scene where, Sam was held captive and was barefoot. Later, though, they did actually end up making his barefooting key to the scene and key to the people that were holding him captive, and this show is 15 seasons long, so I'm not really too worried about giving, like, I don't want to say giving spoilers because I'm not going to say anything. I'll give a necessarily, like, a spoiler, but I'm not afraid to get a little too more into the scene. But I know it was in, like, one of the later ones, I'm not even sure exactly, but when you first see him being like held captive, like by this woman or whatever, you see that he is barefoot. Like they make like a shot where you can like see that he's not wearing shoes. And so whenever I see something like that, I've noticed a lot of the time when they do end up making people being barefoot, like key like that, a lot of the scene, other shows and movies where a lot of the time, like being barefoot, the only reason why it's in there is because it's key for some reason, which is kind of, I could see frustrating, you know, for not even just myself, but for other barefooters. The only time people are gonna be barefoot is when there's like a key reason. When so many of us, yes, we have our own personal key reasons, but our personal key reasons for barefooting are not key reasons to the plot of our life, you know? Like us being barefoot is not going to automatically equal in this event like you see in like a movie or a TV show or something like that, if that makes any sense. Like it's key to us and key to our lives, but it's not key to the, you know, the events of an overall story outside of just us most of the time. You know, it's our personal experiences. It's not like, oh, I'm barefoot, so this is going to happen. Like, you know, I hope I'm making sense. I really do. But in this episode, he was barefoot, and so you get this scene of it, whatever. And to me, I could just tell, like, that was, like, foreshadowing of, like, and I've seen this episode in the past, too, though. But I remember when watching it the first time, and I just watched it recently, like, I remember watching the first time, like, this is going to be, you know, because they don't just show people being barefoot casually a lot of the time. You know, it's like they're disoriented. And in the same episode, I'm not going to say who, but there's a character that ends up coming back to life, and they're barefoot and, like, in their pajamas. And so it's like, most of the time when people are perceived as being barefoot, it's just like they're disoriented. They don't know where they are. Or like on another show I used to watch, like Teen Wolf, which is one of my favorite shows in like middle school. One of the characters, she goes through like this crazy trance kind of thing. And it's supernatural related too. And so she actually ends up like out in the middle, like breaking out of a hospital after she was in the shower, and she was like completely naked, didn't have her shoes on. And so it's a big thing where they're like, oh, it's good. They're worried that she's going to like freeze to death, whatever. But a lot of the time when people are perceived as being barefoot, it's like they don't know where they are. Something bad is happening to them, or they're disoriented. And that, you know, and that whole funny thing to me is that it's always like when they're disoriented, they don't know what's going on. They're in some kind of state. And what's so funny to me about that, though, is most people who are actual barefooters feel like they are more aware, more in tune with their surroundings, their environment, the situation when they are barefoot. And so it's just kind of funny to me because, you know, people who do barefoot, for them, it is rooted in having more sensory awareness, having more of a connection with your environment, rather than how it's perceived as, oh, this person is barefoot because they're disoriented. They don't know what's going on. They're confused. They just came back to life, or they just had a, you know, an episode and ended up in the woods, or, you know, it's always like these states where people are out of touch with themselves, or out of touch with reality, or out of touch with this, the situation or their environment when this is always brought up, you know? Like, does that, I don't know, like, if other barefoot, I'm sure other barefooters have been able to pick up on this, and it's just frustrating, because that is the opposite of the barefoot experience, you know? But then, like what I was saying with the one episode where of Supernatural where Sam was held captive, like they end up torturing him through his feet, basically. Like, I won't get too much into it. And so they so it's like ends up being key in that way. But it's like, but if they weren't going to use his feet as a form of torture, which is a more creative form than I've seen in most media, as they were trying to get information out of him or whatever, you know, it's very creative from the most of the forms of, you know, that we see in the media, of people trying to force information out of others. But if this, you know, wasn't so key to the scene and key to them trying to get information out of him, then he probably wouldn't be barefoot in that scene, you know? It's like, unless it's somehow related to this greater plot, it's like something we rarely see, you know, just casually. And unless it's like a character is holding their shoes because, you know, she was wearing high heels and she got tired of wearing them, like that, other than being disoriented and completely disconnected, or the scene I brought up, you know, with Sam being tortured, unfortunately, or with the motorcycle thing, with it either being Caitlyn or Rob, Caitlyn Jenner or Rob Kardashian Sr. on the motorcycle. I'm not sure when. Other than those things that, you know, I brought up, it's always either, oh, I just, you know, took my high heels off because I didn't want to wear them. I took my boots off because I didn't want to wear them, which is how a lot of people, you know, are. I mean, that's a very relatable thing. I mean, if you've ever been to a homecoming or a prom, you've probably seen countless girls at one time taking off their high heels and dress shoes or whatever because they were uncomfortable so that they could dance. Or, you know, I don't know. It's just like, those are definitely relatable things. I understand why that's an example of when people are barefoot. And that doesn't really bother me, you know, necessarily, you know. What bothers me is just the fact that it's like there's always has to be some bigger reason to why they're barefooting, not just simple as they're just not wearing shoes. And a lot of times, too, like with those, like, again, like you see people not wearing shoes, it's like they always have, unless it's one of those situations I brought up, it's like they're always holding their shoes. You never just see people without them. You know, I mean, in so many different movie scenes, we see people lay in their beds with shoes on, which bothers me. I think that actually bothers me more than anything regarding barefooting in the media is, why are you wearing shoes in your bed? Okay. Why? Like, as somebody, like, I do have some strong OCD tendencies surrounding certain things, and shoes in the bed is one of them. Just like I'm going to wash my feet before I get into my bed, you know? It's just one of those things that bothers me, you know, because, you know, I'm going to wash my feet after I go hiking and stuff like that. You know, it's what I did yesterday. It's what I do every time I go hiking. You know, I wash them when I get home. And people don't wash their shoes, by the way, at least most of them don't. So that's just one of those things that, like, there's an ick factor. Like, it's just gross to me, like, people wearing shoes in their bed. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like, but I understand that may not bother other people, but as, you know, a barefooter, it's like, why can't people just be in their socks laying in bed? Like, why is it that so many movie scenes they're wearing their shoes? And then that makes me wonder, I'm like, is the set you guys work on so unsafe that you have to wear shoes the whole time? Like, should I be concerned about you? You know, like, because, you know, as people who barefoot, we, like I said, you know, being barefoot is not unsafe. There are unsafe situations, you know, where shoes may be a necessary tool for your safety, but barefooting itself is not unsafe. It's not hazardous. it's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you, you know, necessarily. Like, you know, barefooting itself is not unsafe. Environment can be unsafe. And so unsafe that you may need to use shoes as a tool of safety. It's not that it's barefooting itself that's unsafe. It's not, you know, and like I said, what is safe for one person can change over time, you know. Like I was saying, like, you know, now I can walk on hot asphalt when I used to not be able to. Now I can walk on short, pointy rocks when I used to not be able to, you know, things like that. So it's like, you know, this is always going to change. But sorry, I forgot where I was going with this, guys. My brain, it's been a messy brain day. We were actually originally potentially supposed to have a guest speaker, but had stuff that came up with that. And then Audrey had some personal things that came up that she couldn't be here for, unfortunately. So I'm just doing this by whatever's in my brain today, guys. So I hope I've made it somewhat entertaining and easy to follow or understand. But if not, I'm sorry. it's weird, you know, the way our society is so fixated on people having shoes on, that it's normal for people to be in movie scenes laying in bed with their shoes on, you know. And I know that there are people that do that, but there are very few people I've actually met that even do that in my real life, you know. Like, it's, you know, it's so common on TV, but, you know, even people who are all pro shoe and are all, like, loving their shoes and stuff, even they, I mean, will be like, oh, no, that's gross. Why would you wear your shoes in bed? Because a lot of them, the reason why they wear shoes is because, you know, not even necessarily just like a safety thing, but it's a cleanliness thing, in the sense that, you know, they just feel gross being barefoot, which I can understand, because when I get home, I wash my feet, you know. Before I go to bed, I'm going to wash my feet, you know. Because you do pick up, you know, germs, you do step in stuff, and especially if I step in something that's especially gross, I'm going to wash my feet. I'm not going to just track that everywhere, you know. So I totally understand that, because, you know, even as a barefooter, I do think that it's gross, you know, when I've been walking around all day and I could be tracking who knows what into my bed, you know. That's why I wash my feet. But how many people wash their shoes? You know, it's worse, honestly, because if you're walking around all day in your shoes and you're laying in bed, because you don't know what's on your shoes. You don't wash your shoes the way that barefooters wash our feet, the way that all people should be washing their feet regularly, you know. So you don't do that with your shoes. So honestly, I think that's what bothers me so much about it, is because it is gross. You know, you don't know what you're tracking in. And what you're getting everywhere, you know, with your shoes. So I can understand that. So, but yeah, like a lot of the people that I've met who are really gung-ho about wearing shoes, it's because they just, it's a germ thing. It's a germaphobe thing, you know, and I'm not here to judge that. I respect it. That's you, you know. And so they're not even going to be, you know, wearing their shoes up into their beds and stuff like that. So why is the media so fixated on keeping people in their shoes unless there's a general plot that they can throw at us with why they're barefoot, or a situation where they perceive it as being acceptable for someone to be barefoot, you know? Sorry, guys. Rather than it just being like a casual, like, you know, thing. Like, most people I know, the moment they get home, they take their shoes off. You know, the moment my boyfriend comes home from work, his shoes are off. The moment my sister's home from work, her shoes are off. You know, like, anybody I know that isn't a barefooter. A lot of the time when they get home, they take their shoes off. Now, there are those, you know, few people, and that's okay. I'm not here to judge them. So it's just so weird to me that the media has such a fixation on people must have shoes in almost every scene, you know? Like, I don't get it. Or especially, like, you know, seeing, and maybe I, you know, personally just can't relate to this. You know, like, scenes when the character comes home and they're just sad or depressed or they're just overwhelmed and they go and lay down in their bed with their clothes on. My question is, and I get that. Like, I get, you know, feeling that way and just wanting to lay in your bed. You just don't even want to get comfortable. You're done, you know. But why are their shoes on? Because most people that I've met, even if they aren't barefooters, when they're going through things mentally and they're really struggling, taking their shoes off helped, you know? And there are a lot of people that when they have panic attacks, taking off their shoes is key to helping that, you know? And so I think that also just kind of sticks out as a little bit of weird to me because most people, you know, when they're tired, when they're just done, they're ready to pop their shoes off, even if they love wearing shoes. At the end of a really long day, they get home, they're done, they're tired, they're overwhelmed, they might be depressed, whatever. They just want to get their shoes off. They just want to be comfortable. And I can understand just not even changing, just laying on your bed and being like, I'm done. But most people, taking their shoes off is so key for them. It really is. And so if you're somebody that is team shoes, but you may struggle with panic attacks or some kind of mental episode or breakdowns or whatever, try taking your shoes off. When you start feeling it coming on, take your shoes off. See if that can help prevent this from happening. See if this can help alleviate the tension, the frustration, the overwhelmingness that you're feeling before you have this breakdown, before you enter an episode or a panic attack. You know, and it is really important to start recognizing the signs of your mental health and taking control. And so see if maybe barefooting can be used as a self-soothing technique to help you from, you know, being triggered into, you know, an episode or a panic attack or a breakdown, or even see if even after one has been triggered, can this help calm you down? Can this help soothe you? Because there are a lot of people that are all team shoes and never would have thought of it. But once they've tried it, it really does help, you know? And I know for me and many neurodivergent people or neurodiverse, whichever term you prefer, people have found that it is soothing. It is freeing. It really helps with my personal emotional regulation. It helps us just my mental clarity, you know, I feel free. And there's so many people that I've met that even if they wear shoes on the regular, they can still benefit from that freeing feeling. And so, I don't know. And then sometimes when you put it into those perspectives, it almost makes you wonder, is there a deeper conspiracy behind keeping people in their shoes? And I know a lot of barefooters feel this way, you know, that there is a deeper conspiracy behind it to keep us from having the benefits of barefooting on spiritual, medical, mental health, you know, levels. And, you know, sometimes it makes you wonder. But, you know, the most important thing is listen to your body, listen to you, listen to what feels right for you. Listen to what is safe to you, you know, because not even just from a physical standpoint with barefooting. On so many other levels, what is safe to one person may not be safe to another person. And so it's really important to listen to your body, listen to your gut, listen to feel what feels right for you. For some people, wearing shoes might feel safer. But for other people, feeling shoes feels so much less safer. You know, Audrey talked about this. Many neurodivergent or neurodiverse people that have been, you know, guest speakers on this show have talked about how, you know, we feel safer without our shoes. And it's more than just, you know, it's more than just, you know, the risk of stepping on glass or whatever. Safety isn't just a physical thing.
It is a mental thing. It is an emotional thing. It is a spiritual thing. There's so many different types of safety and so many different things that feel safe to so many different people. So it's important to respect what feels safe to other people for them and respect what makes them feel better and comfortable. Just as you should respect what makes you feel better and makes you feel comfortable and follow that, you know? And so it's just really important to remember to keep listening to your body, listen to your own mind, your own feelings, you know, to figure out what is safe for you, what is possible for you, you know, and you don't know what is possible for you in terms of barefooting until you figure that out, until you push those limitations, figure out what you're comfortable with, you know. And for some people, they may not have to push personal limitations much other than not caring about what other people think for barefooting. And that's been the biggest personal limitation that I've had to push aside in terms of barefooting, is not caring what other people think and following with what works for me. So keep listening to your body and keep listening to what feels right and feels safe for you, because you know yourself better than anyone. And you know that's true. You do. Even when you feel like you don't let people gaslight you into thinking that you don't know what's good for you, into thinking you don't know what's safe for you, because you do. You just have to be willing to listen and push aside everybody else's crap and listen within to you. And that's only something that you can figure out on your own. So I'm wishing you the best in your personal journey and, you know, listening to your body and finding what's right for you. You know, just believe in yourself and listen within. But yeah, it was, I hope this is a good show for you all to listen to, and I hope you enjoyed my solo ramblings. I'm sorry if it was a little chaotic, but we will be back next week. I should have Audrey with me next week. So you'll both of us and both of our crazy ramblings. But this was Phoenix. You can find me on Instagram as Venetian Phoenix, which is TheVenusianPhoenix. And this is with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. You can find us on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal and find us on Facebook at Barefoot is Legal. And please check out barefootislegal.org for any more information, empowerment, because knowledge is power. So yeah, it was really great talking today, at least I hope for you guys. So, you know, keep listening to your body and live your best barefoot lifestyle. So, yeah, take care and enjoy your upcoming week.